Thank you. Hi everyone, my name is Jordan Carter, .nz, one of the CCNSO Jesus Group and the co-chair for that sector. And I will welcome you to this meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability, currently proceeding at a leisurely pace through our Workstream 2 efforts. This call is scheduled for 2 hours. We'll see how we go. The first item is just an introduction, a welcome to you all. Thank you for participating. If you've got any updates to your statement of interest, it would be good for you to send those through to the ICANN staff. It's good that we keep ourselves transparent about interests and so on at play in this. And a reminder that the ICANN community standards of behavior do apply to this call and this work as they do with all of our work in the ICANN community. So if you do have an SOI to update to make, please do that with this friendly staff team who are supporting us in this work. Item 2 is a review of the agenda. We've had to make an adjustment to the agenda to account for availability of a couple of people who otherwise wouldn't be able to present to us the final recommendations for a first reading of the diversity material that has come through. So we're going to just slip that diversity item to the end after AOB and before the announcement or discussion of the next plenary. So it'll end up being item 8. And so after we've done the admin, we'll work through the first reading of the Ombudsman with Tijani co-chairing that. Then we'll do staff accountability item 5 with me co-chairing that and presenting it. And then the face-to-face agenda, AOB, and then we'll get on to diversity at item number 8. Are there any other agenda items to raise? And remember, if you've got something small and brief, you can raise it without notice in the A or B section of the agenda. Sebastian, so please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jordan. A question. We are here talking about the various pieces of the final report, but the final report must also take into account some of the overarching theme and when and where we will discuss that. Thank you.
That's a good question. I'm going to just hand over to Bernie to talk about that final report question.
Thank you, Jordan. I believe we're going to try and let me back up a bit. Before getting into that, we wanted to be sure that we had all the final recommendations. As some of you will know, Addiction is still working on it, and we'll probably keep doing so until the deadline of 2 March 2359 UTC. Once we have that, we hope to be able to present something on the overarching point that you mentioned, Sebastian. Staff will be working with the co-chairs on that, and we should be able to have a discussion about that in Puerto Rico. At least that's the plan. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Sebastian, I hope that makes sense to you. Essentially, it's about a week away, the discussion. if there are no other sort of comments or questions on the agenda, just referring to my agenda, I'll hand over to Tijani to co-chair the administration slot. Tijani, over to you.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Tijani speaking. So the agenda item number 3 is about administration, and I will ask Bernie to walk us through this item. Bernie, please.
Thank you. I can certainly take the first two items, but I'll hand the third item back to you. ICANN 61, just a reminder, we're meeting 9 March, 8:30 local for a coffee, starting activities at 9 sharp. That's 12 to 2100 UTC. ICANN Legal will not need the last hour of our meeting. They thanked us for making that available, but they managed to get a slot during the week. However, the IRP IoT may wish to take over that last hour to take advantage of it to have a face-to-face meeting on some of their points. We've talked about it with the co-chairs. They did not see an issue with that, and so we're not taking any time away from the meeting that we have not scheduled. So that will be done like that. So as usual, we will have full remote participation available for those who can't make it. And for those that can, we look forward to seeing you there. ICANN 62, Panama City, just to confirm, we are in the middle of the funding process for travelers from the Workstream 2 Travel Fund. This will close Monday, 19 March, 2359. We've had quite a few of our regular applicants. If you have not done so, with an ICANN meeting coming up, time's going to go fast. So just a reminder, if you're planning on applying and you are eligible, I will remind everyone to read the rules if you're eligible, then please do so probably before you leave for Puerto Rico, just to make sure you get in under the deadline. That'll cover those two items. I'll hand it back to Johnny for the third one. Meeting with the board caucus. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bernie. For the third item of this, the third part of this item, it is about a meeting with the board and ICANN 61. I will give the floor to Jordan.
Thanks, Tijani. Yeah, I should have mentioned at the start that we have an apology from Thomas Rickert today. He's homesick both with the flu himself and with sick kids as well. So he's looking after them, and that's why there's a bit of skipping back and forward with Tijani and I sharing the co-chairing. On the meeting with the board, it's just a brief advice, really. The co-chairs approached the chair of the board at by email a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, just offering a chance for a subset of the board to meet with the co-chairs and the rapporteurs of the current, the currently finalizing recommendations, the ones that have been finalized in the second tranche, to try and minimize the chances of any misunderstandings. So basically to give the board the chance to ask any questions about the recommendations, how they had been arrived at, how the public comments were taken into account. For those of you who've been following closely enough, you'll know that sometimes the board's comments haven't been picked up in the final recommendations. And we just thought it would be a useful opportunity for a kind of informal and low-key and not a low-key discussion to happen before anyone jumps to any conclusions about that process and before we get into any kind of discussions that are pushing up against the final deadline in June. So that's going to happen at a date and time to be determined, and I think we'll talk about it a bit more at the CCWG meeting in San Juan on Friday, because it won't happen before we've got our in-person plenary. So it's just a briefing for you. I don't know if there are any questions on that, but if there are, or on any of the other administration items, Tijani will take those and do a speaking list. Over to you, Tijani.
Okay, thank you very much, Jordan. The next agenda item will be about the staff accountability, the first reading of the final recommendation, and this will be done by Jordan, since he is member of this.
Yes, thanks. Me again. Hi, everyone. My job as the kind of former rapporteur for this group is to present to you the final recommendations, which have been circulated to you, the proposed final recommendations. And they have been with the agenda for this meeting in a number of forms, well, a red line form and a clean form, and also the documented replies to the public comments have been circulated in draft as well. And this is one of those areas where these are coming through the plenary because the small subgroup hasn't been achieving the quorum rules to have meetings in the last little while. And so we've run out of time for that, and here it is. Bernie or staff, I don't know if we're going to actually pull the red line up for us to work through. I think that would be the easiest way to do that. I'll try and keep this presentation reasonably brief, and then I'll invite any other subgroup members to add any thoughts, and then we will come back to a broader group discussion before confirming, hopefully, a first reading. So the track changes version of this is in the screen now. And I would urge you to scroll through it. The suggestion that I'll make to you is that we scroll to the recommendations part of this, because the changes at the front are just changing the draft from being a to being a kind of final recommendations paper. And there haven't been any substantive changes to the roles and responsibilities document or the issues section, really. So if you look at the recommendations in the PDF on the screen, they start on page 8. And the first recommendation didn't change. It's the same as it was in an earlier draft form. It's really about clarifying what accountability mechanisms are already in place regarding staff accountability and sort of being clear about publishing them and making them more visible. The second recommendation has changed a bit, and this one is about the information acquisition, if you like, sort of eliciting feedback from the community on how performance is going, and that 2A is the same as it was in the previous version. And the second part, the 2B, if you like, was removed and put later in the recommendations. Recommendation 3 was, I'm just getting myself a little bit lost in this text. I'm currently on the top of page 9. That's the remaining recommendation 2. And that just tried to clarify a bit more about the inclusion of some community feedback in the performance assessment of staff. Obviously, that's a reasonably sensitive issue, and one we're working that feedback in an appropriate way, consistent with ICANN's legal obligations to its staff and in a way that genuinely helps performance. Just wanted to give a bit more context about that. So that's the genesis of those changes that are tracked at the top of page 9 of this PDF. I'll try and speak more clearly into the microphone. I see the transcript has me indecipherable from time to time. Recommendation 3, following the public feedback and consideration by the group, has been removed. This was the panel idea, in the end, there was a lot of questions raised in the public comments about the nature of it. We felt in the end that given that it was an informal proposal and a gathering of people to troubleshoot, if an issue arises that's susceptible to being resolved by that kind of grouping of people, that grouping of people is likely to get together on an as-needed basis. But as is sometimes the case in the way we do work in the ICANN community, if we memorialize it and institutionalize it in recommendations, then there would be a whole process to actually form it and need to create a great deal more detail and specificity about it, which no one was up for and which the public comments didn't necessarily demand. So that one's gone in this final proposed recommendations. So we can scroll down past that to the top of page 10 of the PDF. This is now recommendation 3, but was recommendation 4. And it all looks like new red text. It isn't all new text, but it was so bitsy it became a bit impossible to show it. And this was one where there was strong community support from all around the community for this idea of service level approach being taken to how to help assure and make transparent the quality expectations the community could have in the services that ICANN provides. And the board pushed back on that reasonably strongly and said that it didn't like the idea of a service-level approach to managing relation service quality. But the board didn't propose an alternative approach by which it wanted to do that. And so in light of the strong community support for that approach, especially from the parts of the community that have the privilege or misfortune of being in contractual relationships with ICANN, and for whom this is even more important as a result, what we tried to do is to chart out a bit of an evolutionary approach to make it clear that you'd start with the most important critical services, so it's a bit about prioritizing the classes for which targets and guidelines and service levels would be implemented, to define how that will happen, and then to, in that, develop under service levels, also some guidelines for expectation about how people will work together, and then to publish information about the resulting service levels and targets in a coherent place. And so we tried to allay concerns that we might suddenly be expecting service levels for everything that ICANN does, and we wanted to make it clear that evolving in that direction was something that the community has strongly supported, so there's no real prospect, I don't think, in our workstream to work of saying, oh, well, you didn't like that, but, so we're going to not do it, because the community support was pretty overwhelming on that. So tried to do our best to adjust for the comments and to make it a more workable process that does allay some of the concerns. And, of course, if the ICANN board does have a different way of working, that doesn't involve service levels, but that also meets community needs and expectations, I'm sure everyone will say yes and thank you, and we look forward to hearing what it might be. So that's my run-through for you of the recommendations, the changes that have been made. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in the work of the Staff Accountability Subgroup. It's been a tricky area because staff accountability sits right alongside responsibilities of the executive and the CEO in particular. And it's also sometimes difficult to draw a line between staff accountability and overall organizational performance. And so I think those issues have been reasonably well handled in the discussion. There's been the odd bump along the way, but I think we've got to a set of pragmatic recommendations that will improve the situation and, importantly, give ICANN and the community more information in future on which to judge how these matters are being dealt with and to assure all of us in a nice, clean, well-understood and transparent way how the organization is doing. So with that, I'll take off my presenter hat and put on a co-chair hat alongside it to ask for any feedback or questions or objections to the idea of deeming this a first reading. And after the chance to take a speaking list on this, I will then reconfirm that this is a first reading of this set of recommendations. So are there any questions or comments then? If I'm right, the second reading of these set of recommendations will be at the in-person meeting in San Juan. So if you're still thinking about questions, you'll have a chance to raise them there and talk them through in person. So in the absence of the speaking list and given the agenda that we've got, I'm going to formally record this as a first reading success for the staff accountability recommendations in Workstream 2. Thank you all for your assent through silence and a few chatted notes that say yay. And I'm going to hand the chair and presenting job, or at least the chairing job, back to Shijani now for our next agenda item, which is on the Ombudsman final recommendations. Shijani, over to you.
Thank you, Jordan. Yes, the agenda item number five in this case will be ombudsman. So the final recommendation and the first reading of this final recommendation. Sebastian is the supporter of this subgroup and the final recommendation. Sebastian, please.
Thank you, Tijani. I hope that you can hear me a little bit better than Tijani because he's very thin. But the final report is presented here with very few changes. And if you want to follow them, we have one change by page five, which is just reorganization of the text, but the idea is the same. And then let's go to six. And I must tell you that that's a summary. We have the same changes, exactly the same in page 17 and 18. The changes here on the recommendation number nine, it's to add one of the requests from some of the comments we received that the any extension of the ombuds to perform the ICANN ombuds office will be made after a feedback from the community. And on recommendation number 11, it's to really insist on the fact that the ombuds can't be involved in a policy revision or processes, and it's the sentence it's meant to be a little bit clearer than the previous one. That's the three changes we are offering in this report of the subgroup on the ICANN Ombuds Office. Thank you very much, Tijani. Back to you. Tijani, if you are speaking, I can't hear you, and I guess the other either. It's Sebastian speaking.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me now?
Yeah, now it's better.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead, Tijani. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sebastian, for presenting the final recommendation of the Ombuds Office. And I ask you all if there is any comment and any remark about those recommendations. I would like to remind you that this is the first reading of those recommendations. Any question to Sebastian? Oh, Sebastian, you are very clear. No questions. So, okay, I have one. Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, it just to Sebastian, add that I want to thank, yes, if you can hear me, Tijani, thank you very much. It's just to add that I would like to thank the few people who participated in each and every calls, and we have done this job because they were participating, and I want to thank especially Alberto, Cheryl, and the current ombuds, and I may forget one or two, but that's because they were here that we were able to do this job. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. So once more, if there is any question, any remark about those recommendations, I don't see any hand, I don't hear anything. So this was the first reading of the Ombuds Office recommendation. It is finished now. We will go to the agenda item number six, which is the proposed agenda for face-to-face meeting on 9 March. And this will be done by Jordan.
Jordan. Thanks, Tijani, and thanks for that formal agreement to a first reading of those ombuds and recommendations, everyone. I'm actually going to hand straight over to Bernie, who's going to take us through the draft agenda for the face-to-face meeting next week. Bernie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jordan. We don't have a detailed agenda yet, but basically it's going to look a lot like the agenda today. But we hope that we will have the jurisdiction recommendations. So far, the changes that have been brought to the jurisdiction report don't seem to be monumental. They're taking in some of the comments and trying to adjust, but as all things in jurisdiction, everyone wants to make sure that it's done right. So, and to that, we will add, as we said earlier, this overarching section of what the final report will look like before it goes to public comment. So, that's what I have for you. I'll be glad to take questions or suggestions as to items that we need to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie.
Thanks, Sam. Bernie? Are there any questions on that or suggestions that you'd like to raise? Caboose, I see that your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. Just a very, very small question. At what time UTC the meeting starts? At what time UTC the meeting starts? The face-to-face?
It starts at 12:30 UTC on Friday the 9th of March, and it runs until 21 hours UTC. So we think it will finish a little bit earlier than that, Caboose. So 12:30 UTC through to at the very 21.
Yes. Just a very minor point that I will not be able to attend physically at the meeting. I will attend remotely, and I will be just 2 or 3 hours before the end of the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Are there any other questions or suggestions for the agenda? Sebastian, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Sebastian Bachar is speaking. Yeah, I have just one question. A lot of the comments were done by the board for all of our report, and that was good and well done. I have impression that there are some of the feedback from the board who are almost based on the same idea in a lot of different subgroup reports. Do you think that we will need a specific time to be to have an exchange with the board on the feedback, on the comments, and where to go for the next phase, because I think it's one of the important pieces. Of course, we will have also the decision of each of the sponsoring organizations to be taken into account. But, yeah, my question is, do we have a specific time slot to have a deep exchange with the board from our group? Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Jordan here. The short answer is yes. I outlined a plan for an exchange with the board under the administration item, and that we would talk more about the exact nature of that session in San Juan, because that'll be before whenever it happens. And then in terms of the next phase of the work and responding particularly to those board comments about prioritization and the implementation process, I've got a few things to say about that in the AOB, so we'll come back to that if that's okay with you after we run through the diversity recommendations. First reading, rather. Thanks, Seb. That's a green tick. So if there are no others right now about the agenda, can I remind you that you're very welcome to suggest items and do that on the email list or to the co-chairs or to the staff. Don't hold back if you've got any other ideas about what we need to discuss, and we will endeavor to get a draft written agenda out to you soon. And now let me hand back to Tijani, who's going to co-chair the diversity recommendations first reading. Tijani, over to you.
Thank you very much, Jordan. The next item will be about diversity, and we have the final recommendations that will be presented by one of the co-coordinators of this subgroup, and it will be also the first reading of those recommendations. So, Fiona or Rafiat? Please, who wants to speak?
Hello, everyone. This is Fiona.
Okay.
Thank you, Tijani.
Go ahead.
Now, for the diversity group, we received a total of 72 comments from the public comments period on the different issues. There are some on recommendations, there are others on implementation, and there are others also on recommendations, but the approach was a bit different from what we had proposed. And of those comments, we were able to accept 9 of them to change the recommendations. And so the recommendations that were changed were recommendations 1, 5, 7, and 8. We can just scroll down the document that is on our screens and look at those. Recommendation 1, there was a suggestion to change the tone by adding should. So we are recommending that groups should agree that the following 7 key elements of diversity should be used as a common turning point for all diverse considerations within ICANN. And it's not as it was before, it was the groups must agree and must, were sort of a bit more forceful with the language. So that has changed to should. We have also changed recommendation 5, where it was proposed that we consider it being regular updates and not necessarily annually. So each SEO group supported by ICANN staff should undertake a regular update of their diversity assessment against their diversity criteria and objectives at all levels, including leadership. Ideally, this update should be carried out annually, but not less than every 3 years. They should publish the results on their official website and use this information to review and update their objectives, strategies, and timelines. And this was based on comments that came forth, requesting that we don't restrict it to being annual, but make sure that the updates are regular, and they are also in cycles that the different SEOs and groups in ICANN can adjust to. And that is why we say not more than 3 years. Then the other recommendation changes was recommendation 7. We changed to ICANN staff should support SEOs and groups in developing and publishing a process for dealing with diversity-related complaints and issues. Initially, we had worded it differently, and so based on the comments from the public comment period, we have adjusted to ensure that staff support the SEs and SOs in developing and publishing these processes and not staff doing it, as it read before. Recommendation 8 also changes, and in that we state that ICANN staff should support the capture, analysis, and communication of diversity information, and we are allowing them to seek external expertise if needed. Initially, we had just left, it wasn't allowing them to seek any external expertise, but based on the comments that came forth and the discussion we had in the group, we considered and agreed that having external expertise may be a necessity in some cases to enable that recommendation to be implemented. So those are the recommendations that change. We had 30 comments that touched on implementation, and this came from different groups within the ICANN community. And on this, maybe we recommend that the co-chairs look at the comments on implementation, and we can factor them in our discussions with the board because the ICANN organization is going to have to consider the aspects of implementation and budgets that are raised within some of these comments. Then there were 33 comments that raised issues that proposed approaches which were not agreeable to the group. And so for those who were not able to accept or agree on the approach and therefore did not take in the recommendation but have made a comment explaining to the groups that what they provided was not considered agreeable in terms of the approach that the group wanted to use moving forward. And this is because there is a need to help the community understand that the diversity issues are just, we're just beginning the process of addressing diversity issues, and therefore we are taking small leaps to get us started. At a later time, we may be able and best placed to take larger leaps in terms of steps forward that we can take to improve diversity within ICANN. And I think that provides a summary of the comments. But one thing that is important to note is that we did not get significant support on creating an Office of Diversity. We got different three different views. One was for having external entities assess diversity. Another was having the Office of Diversity, and others were not supporting the Office of Diversity. So those came through, and on the issue of Office of Diversity, we didn't get any traction in terms of strong comments to support having the Office of Diversity. So we have since removed it from our report, but we put a note, a footnote in our document indicating that that had been considered, but it did not receive significant support from the community and from the subgroup and the CCWG. And I think that summarizes our comments on the diversity subgroup. However, if I've left out anything, I think the members of the subgroup are free to add in. Thank you, Tijani.
Thank you very much, Fiona. Thank you for this report. You have already a question from Cheryl. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonell for record, and it is in fact not a question at all, but it is a statement from Alan Greenberg as member of the group and the plenary and, of course, chair of the at-large advisory committee, and he's requested that the following be read to the record of this meeting as we deliberate on the diversity first reading. I will skip over from the email his general apologies for not being here, and now I am quoting Alan. I note that the diversity recommendations being considered do not include one to create an ICANN Office of Diversity, the OOD. There was an extensive discussion on diversity and an OOD within the ALAC over the past weeks.
No.
As one might expect from such a regionally based organisation, the ALAC strongly supports diversity in all of its forms, and to say we are collectively, in brackets, passionate about diversity does not fully convey our feelings. However, every person who contributed to this discussion, and that was a majority of the ALAC members and other community leaders, felt that there is no need for an Office of Diversity, and to create one would needlessly increase bureaucracy and cost without any real benefit. There was support for ICANN organisation to consider diversity amongst its staff, but that should be handled within human resources. In summary, the ALAC would not support creating an OOD. That's the end of the quote from Alan. And just a very minor point from me on rereading this work, and thanks to Fiona Rafiq and the rest of the team, especially including Julie, for what's gone into this. I note that we refer to, both in the executive summary and later in the body of the document, after we talk about Spec 12, the diversity subgroup focused on requirements 3, 4, and 5 for its work, but that the it is bullet points that it's referring to, and it just strikes me that we'd be better off having a numbered list if we were going to refer to numbers in the following text. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. The position of Alan in the name of ELAC is noted, well noted. Any other comment, any other remark? Yes, Sebastian.
Sebastian Machu speaking. Yes, I was thinking how to say what I want to say, but I don't think there were formal decision about this text. It's read by Cheryl, and thank you for that, written by Alan Greenberg. I'm not sure that it's yet an ILAC position as such, and I will not comment today on that anymore. I want to be released by the second reading of the Ombuds Office to be able to make a personal comment. Therefore, I will wait for the face-to-face meeting after the second reading of the document. I am the rapporteur of, and I will give you some input at that time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. Any other comment? Cheryl, you still have your hand up.
So I'm having network problems. It's down for me, but I've got the orange lines in network. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Greg Shatton.
Thank you, Tijani. Greg Shatton for the record. This is maybe a fool's rush in where angels fear to tread sort of comment, but I would just mention that it's, you know, quite common for organizations to have a chief diversity officer, whether that person has to have an entire office of diversity that they are the head of. That does seem, you know, needlessly bureaucratic and wasteful, but assigning it to human resources without suggesting that there be a person with whom the buck stops within that human resources organization who is at least designated as the chief diversity officer, whether that's their only job or they wear six hats. You know, anything that needs to get done in an organization, I believe, tends to get done better if somebody has ownership of the issue and not just a group, but ultimately a person. So I don't know how that fits in exactly. That's the fool part of my comment. But I do want to note, you know, having worked with a lot of, you know, corporate clients in my day job, chief diversity officer has been, you know, a very accepted concept in and of itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Sebastian?
Yes, thank you very much. Tijani, Sebastian Machu speaking. Greg, great comment, but we are not staff, and what we are dealing here is about diversity of the organization. Sorry, I don't use this name anymore. Of the structure of the participants, not of the staff. Therefore, it's something different. It's why I guess a proposal was made of this office, but I think your point was discussed at length in the diversity subgroup, and we may come back with some idea in the near future, hopefully, with finding some solution for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Fiona.
Thank you, Tijani. This is Fiona for the record. In response to Greg's comment, what we discussed and what we concluded as a group is that trying to advise on the Office of Diversity, whether it's an office or an individual, or how I can choose us to implement that diversity, was looking like we are getting very involved in implementation issues. So we could get out of that. And I would like to suggest
possibly if when we have the discussion on implementation, this that is where we can start. And if Greg, with his experience, can share different scenarios of how that is done, it will help us significantly in making positive headway so that we are not just making recommendations that will hang somewhere with no one responsible, but they will be followed through and be implemented. So it's just that because of the mandate we were given, that looked like we're getting too much into the implementation. But I think in the conversation with the board, the co-chairs can take note of that as something that needs to be paid attention to in terms of implementation and having it during the implementation discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona. Steve Del Bianco.
Thank you to Johnny and Steve Del Bianco for the Commercial Stakeholders Group. And our constituencies within the CSG had earlier supported versions of this diversity report, which did not create an Office of Diversity. So I think, believe we would like to associate ourselves with the comment that Alan Greenberg submitted. And while I am familiar with the Office of a Diversity Officer in certain corporate entities, I believe it applies to the employees of that entity and not necessarily to the customers of that company and the affiliated stakeholder groups that interact with that entity. So with all respect to Greg, I don't see a parallel between corporations that have a diversity officer and the entity called ICANN, where the diversity we truly seek is not within the corporation's employees, but within the stakeholder groups that surround it. To that end, as one of the rapporteurs on the SOAC accountability group, our final recommendations included one of the good practices was that in the area of outreach, that each SOAC and group should have a strategy to do outreach for the parts of their targeted community that is not significantly participating while also seeking diversity within membership. So I believe we attack it through a lot of other ways, but not through creating a position within ICANN, which is limited to the employees that it controls. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Yes. The next one is Greg.
Thanks. Greg Chatton, just briefly, all points well taken. I will say that diversity officers also deal with vendor diversity and other kind of third-party diversity. But I do think this is a case where ICANN is a unique organization, and I think that really, rather than having a chief diversity officer, though they can for their employees and for their vendors, is probably beside the point for this group's work. I think what's key, and I agree with Steve on this, is that ICANN provide the right type and amount of support for diversity efforts to take place within the community. The very issues that cause a lack of diversity also make it hard to work on diversity issues, digital divide and economic and other issues. And if there isn't support from ICANN and very strong interlink, obviously, with engagement, outreach, onboarding, education, all of those things, it's just going to give diversity lip service or worse yet, go into some sort of metrics exercise, which is really not the point. The best way to achieve diversity is to have a diverse pool, in my view. And for that, we'll need support, not a chief diversity officer type support, but a kind of a panoply of support. Maybe there should be somebody on the inside who's responsible for kind of looking at it holistically, not the chief diversity officer. Maybe it's a multi-stakeholder strategic initiative thing or something. But it is, I'll still go with my buck stops here concept that works well, but I don't think, but I agree that in this case, the CDO is not the person for whom that task would be relevant. And it's not a human resources issue really either. Because again, that goes back to the same point Steve made. HR even more deals really only with employee issues. So the key is support and somebody for whom the quality of that support is a job description definer. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you all for this discussion, this fruitful discussion in my point of view. I know that the diversity office was a point for which there was two different positions inside the subgroup, and this discussion is the proof of the good health of our work. And I would like to remind you that this is the first reading of the report. We will have another reading, and I hope we will have the good consensus before we finalize the final report, the final global report. Any other remark? I don't see any hand. So, seeing no hand, hearing nothing, I will go to the next agenda item, which is any other business. Is there any other business? Yes, go ahead.
Thanks, Tijani. I just wanted to, as I signaled earlier, make a point about the prioritization question. And just before that, I'll thank you and the others for confirming that that was the first reading of the Ombudsman relations. The point about prioritization was raised by the ICANN board in quite a few of its comments. The one that we just confirmed was the diversity recommendations. My apologies to everyone. I've got too many lists of titles in front of me. Prioritization has been raised a lot, and it's starting to be raised in our group in terms of the broader implementation of our work stream two recommendations. And I guess in implementing these, the first point to make is that this isn't like implementing work stream one. We don't have to hire 20 lawyers and massively rewrite ICANN's bylaws at a very high speed and then get them all through. We can be a bit more planned about it. The second point to make is that implementation will require changes to practice across the ICANN organization. And so there's going to need to be some implementation framework process oversight that involves the CCWG or its successors in the SOAC leadership in the ICANN staff and among the ICANN board. So the only thing really I wanted to do with this intervention at this point is to suggest that implementation has to be a live issue and that we should talk about that more, kind of giving you a heads up that we'll need to talk about that more in the meeting in San Juan, the next plenary, and we may need to have some comments in our final report that sort of gets a clear mandate from the chartering organizations when they move towards approval about how we're going to handle that process. I would imagine that there are different views in different parts of the ICANN community and organization about it, and we need to both about the process that we'll use to implement and about various aspects of what is done when and so on. So getting a really clear picture early on about how that is going to be done will be essential to avoiding any unnecessary sort of conflict. So that is all I wanted to sort of just throw your way at this point. I don't know if that will give rise to any questions, but anyone's welcome to discuss that or raise other points. And I'll hand back to Tijani to chair this item.
Thank you very much, Jordan. David McCauley.
Thank you, Tijani. It's David McCauley speaking for the record. And I just want to go back to a subject that Bernie raised at the top of the call with respect to the final hour of the CCWG plenary meeting in San Juan on March 9th, 4 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. local time. Now that ICANN Legal and ICANN Policy have identified a separate time to meet with SO and AC leaders on establishing a standing panel for IRP, which itself is an important topic, that hour became available. And so I'm just speaking now. I want to ask those in this group who are also members of the IRP Implementation Oversight Team, take a look at your mail and see if you can, and you know, assure us or commit to attending a face-to-face of the Implementation Oversight Team. I think it would be very good to sort of re-energize ourselves. If we can take advantage of that hour, it would be great. Just look in your mail on that list, and if you could let us know not later than noon UTC this coming Friday, Bernie and I can then decide if we have sufficient attendance to have such a meeting, and then we'd let this list know too because it would be open. But it's a good opportunity, so I encourage you to take a look and attend if you can. Thanks very much. Thanks to Johnny.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Any other business? Seeing none. We can go now to the next agenda item, which is next plenary, and we spoke about that. It will be on Friday, 9 March, from 8:30 to 17 local time in Puerto Rico. Okay. So, and that now, if there is not any remark or any question or any other intervention, is there any other intervention? I don't see anyone, so this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. See you later.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.